Hey folks, in this interview, I'm talking with Michelle G. Hunder. We're going to be talking about her photography career, her Twitch career, and some new news, hopefully she'll share, about Nikon.
This is Twitch.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. This is the first stream slash recording that I'm doing on the service twitch.tv. I was going to say new service twitch.tv, but it's not new, but it's new to me. So I have the honor of having Michelle G. Hunder with me. She's one of the more prolific photographers, streamers that are on Twitch, and she has graciously offered up herself to be interviewed, as well as she's given me some tips and tricks on how to operate and navigate in the world of Twitch. It's an interesting world. Michelle G. Hunder, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I am really good. I'm excited. I was nervous leading up to this interview. Like I was telling you before, I've done literally hundreds of interviews over the span of a decade or so. But this one I was nervous for because this is a new experience. This is a new world. Yeah. So before we dive into the world of Twitch, tell me about Michelle. Who is Michelle G. Hunder? You are a photographer. Your husband's a documentarian. Like what is going on down there?
Yeah, so I live in Melbourne, Australia. I am a professional music photographer. I've been shooting for roughly 10 years, almost 10 years. I've been married for almost the same amount of time, so 10 years as well. I have two gorgeous dogs that are my life or our lives. And to be honest, I think, like, you know, when you talk about who I am, like, a lot of my identity is very much wrapped up in what I do. I really identify as being a music photographer. It is my life. I've thrown everything into it. I absolutely love my job. It doesn't feel like work. Like it feels like I have the best job in the world and I work with amazing people and I'm constantly inspired by the people that I work with, the work that I get to do. And I think it's, you know, the last couple of months has really thrown a bit of a spanner in the work for me personally because I feel like that, because I, you know, identify with what I do so intimately, it really has changed my life. And I had to find a way to, I guess, put all of the energy that I was putting into my life and my career into something else because I wasn't able to shoot and I'm still not able to shoot. So that's where Twitch came in and I started streaming 5 months ago and it's honestly been incredible. So yeah, it's been really
amazing. And you've taken over. You've taken over Twitch. I'm relatively new to it, so I'm like trying to find out, you know, who's who and what's what and all that stuff. And your name keeps coming up over and over again. And when people talk about you, even when you're not on the stream, they refer you, the reverence that they attach to your name is like when fans talk about Beyonce. You're like the Beyonce of Twitch. Like, how did that happen? How did you get that status on the service?
I definitely don't see myself like that. I mean, I guess for me, like, I like to support other people. So I pop up in other people's streams all the time. I have time to do that at the moment. So I guess that lends itself to, you know, making genuine friends and making genuine connections with people. I think I also, you know, I have a decent social media following on other platforms. So I was able to bring, you know, like, a relatively decent amount of people over with me. So, you know, I wasn't ever doing the hard yards and streaming to one or two people, which a lot of people have to start doing that. Hang on 2 seconds. My dog was just crying. He wanted to be let out. So, you know, I've always had a decent number of people. I'm still building that audience every day. I definitely don't want to be, you know, taking credit for being, like, you know, the biggest photographer streamer on the platform or anything like that. There's people that have been here since, people like Shu, and there's some other guys that have been here for a very, very long time, and I would hate to take any credit away from the people that have been here for you know, since 2013, streaming and doing the hard yards. So I've only been on the platform for 5 months. So I feel like the people that have been here for a long time really set the groundwork for people like us. And also anyone that started in the last few months also would notice that those guys have really welcomed us with open arms, really helped us, like, show us the ropes.
Yeah.
With, you know, things like the Twitch photography team, and yeah, it's just made it a really welcoming and amazing platform that I am just stoked to be involved in, to be honest.
There's so much to it too, you know, like at first glance, and I'll tell you, you know, coming to it as an older guy looking at Twitch, I looked at it and instantly, I'd say maybe a year or so ago, I saw it and I'm like, not for me. That's for gamers. That's for people sitting there with headsets on and, you know, playing games and chatting all day long. That's not for me. I'm busy. I don't have time for it. When I was re-exposed to it a little while ago, I was like, okay, I get it. This is a community. This could really kind of take on a YouTube kind of thing, you know, or Facebook streaming. And then most recently, I'm really understanding it because I kind of dove into the deep end to understand kind of the metaphor that Twitch is, the communal aspect of it, as well as the integration with Discord and all that stuff. It is a deep, deep service. It's like an iceberg. And if you give it a glance, you only see the tip top of it. But if you stay there for a while, it gets deeper and deeper. What do you think as a content creator on the service? What do you think the like, where is it going? Is it going to take over Facebook? Is it going to take over YouTube? Like, where do you think it's all going?
That's I have to firstly agree with everything that you said. And my initial introduction to Twitch was very much the same. So my husband is currently making a documentary on esports and gamers. And so he introduced me to Twitch about a year ago as well. And I saw it and I had the exact same reaction as you. And I was like, this is not for me. This is gamers. This is weird. Like, but he planted a bit of a seed in my head and was kind of like, hey, there's this platform here. Like, maybe you could do something with that. And then when COVID hit, I came back to it and was like, okay, like, what, how can I use this platform? What is it possible for me to reach a community of people that maybe are looking for inspiration at the moment, and give them, you know, do workshops and give them something to look forward to? And that's kind of how I started at the start, was like, okay, I'm just going to show people, I'm going to try and teach people, I guess, in this downtime. But in the last 5 months, when you talk about tip of the iceberg, like, this has completely taken over my life. It has, there is now, I'm starting to build a really, really strong community. I would say the majority of the people that are in my community are young female photographers, which is a real passion of mine. I've been really into mentoring in this space for a few years now. So to see that kind of carrying over to this community, and that's not to say that it's exclusive to young women, because it's not. There's amazing men in there as well. But all the people, I would say, across the board, you know, have a really encouraging, welcoming vibe. You know, there will be nothing, there's no, like, you know, snarkiness or anything like that tolerated. It's really purely a space for people to create and to learn and to not feel discouraged by making mistakes. And I'm really, really passionate about that. So, but where you see, when you talk about where you see this going, like, I truly believe that Twitch is the future for not only just for the space that we're looking at, but for entertainment. And I think once you get it, once it clicks, and it's definitely clicked for me in the last couple of months, like, I do not watch anything else now except for Twitch streams. Like, I am so invested in this, like, because I've made so many friends and they're all over the world and everybody's streaming at different times. So, like, from the minute that I wake up to the minute that I go to bed, I'm either engaging in somebody's stream, looking after my Discord, which is now over 200 people in there, working on my stream. You know, there's always stuff to work on. It's like a constant improvement. Or I'm hanging out in other people's streams and looking not only at their content, but, like, hanging out with people, like, in the streams. Like, there's, you really become friends and There's a real sense of community, and there's lots of in jokes and people being silly and like this, you know, the stuff that I really love. So for somebody at the moment that can't, you know, I actually can't leave my house at the moment because of our restrictions. Like we're actually not allowed to leave, and I'm a very social person. So this has been like a lifeline for me because I'm getting the connection that I would usually have with my friends and all the stuff socially. I'm actually getting this in this Twitch community, which, you know, 12 months ago, I would never have thought that, you know, I really love person-to-person contact. I really love human connection. So it's really surprised me how much I've taken to it. And I can't really speak highly enough of the community, especially the photography community that is on Twitch. It's really, really amazing.
You know, I want to talk a little bit. You touched on a little bit of your audience and how you've managed to sort of build an audience on Twitch of younger women, younger girls, you know, female photographers that you're addressing and sort of helping to empower them. What when you say that, when you look at the empowerment of young females on a service like Twitch, what does that look like? Is it just encouragement, you know, hey, you can do this, your work is good, you know, that kind of gentle push, or is it something else?
It's a couple of things, actually. It's definitely the encouragement and giving a space to provide, like, to be able to create art that doesn't feel like that, like nobody's ever going to make them feel stupid or that their art isn't worth sharing. The second thing is that I'm really open with, that I'm completely self-taught. The way that my processes, like the way that I edit, the way that I do things is not perfect. And I think that's really important to see somebody that has had a relatively successful career be completely raw and open and be like, hey guys, like half the time I don't even know what I'm doing. Like I'm just playing with stuff until it looks good and I'm like, cool, good to go. And like I think that for a lot of young women is actually really encouraging to see that you don't need to be the most perfect. You don't need to know all of the tech stuff. Like tech talk, gear talk can actually be very intimidating, I think, for a lot of young women if your brain doesn't work like that. My brain does not like work like that. Whenever I see that stuff, I'm just like, I switch off. Like I don't care. It doesn't interest me at all. I'd rather just have a camera in my hand and learn how to use that to the best of my ability. So and I've just found that a lot of women really resonate with that. And it's not to say that all women are like that, because there's certainly some that really, really love the tech stuff, but that's just a generalization. And I found that just being visible and being raw and honest really resonates with, you know, young women. So yeah,
that's
it's worked.
The hard part. I mean, that for me, like the rawness of it all and just being able to be less polished is one of the hardest things for me. Not that I'm all polished and everything, but you know, my pedigree comes from the Air Force. And then, you know, I worked at Apple and Adobe. So I'm used to, you know, double checking, triple checking. Is it ready for the public to see it? No, not yet. You know, okay, make it better, then release it to the public. And then, you know, and Twitch is not that at all. Twitch is very like, you know, like in my office here, come hang out with me and just chill and eat a bag of chips while I work on this image kind of thing. How are you able to bridge that? Because you're a bit of a perfectionist as well. How are you able to bridge the perfectionist Michelle G. Hunter to the, you know, let's just, you know, let it fly free, Michelle.
Yeah, well, to be honest, like, so what happened when I first started streaming, probably about 2 months in, I was selected to do a Twitch creative showcase with Twitch Australia. So I got in contact, I guess, or they got in contact with me to say, hey, we really like what you're doing. We'd like to showcase you as an art streamer. So then it just meant that I was able to communicate with those guys to say, hey, like, I'm really new on this platform. I really want to grow. I'm very passionate about it. Like, can you guys give me advice? And the biggest piece of advice that they were saying to me was to be less polished, to be like the people that are coming into our streams really just want to hang out. Like they really just want to, they see you as a friend. They really like you. They just, it's a chill session. And it took me months to get my head around that, because every time I was streaming, I felt like I needed to be teaching something. I needed to be doing a workshop. I needed to show them how to edit something. And it's actually taken me so long to get my head around that Twitch, yes, it's great to have that, like as a loose thing to be like, hey, we're doing this today, but that's not really why people are there. Like, and it's taken a while to get, like I said, my head around that. But like, I would say that the streams that people have loved the most are probably the ones that have been the loosest, and like crazy things have happened, and we're all just hanging out and something silly happens. Or, you know, there was one stream I had where, you know, my husband and I, he came in and we just talked about things like, you know, mental health as creatives, or what do you do when you have imposter syndrome? And we just had a chat. It was just the two of us talking to the chat, and like just really casual stuff like that. People really, really resonate with. So I'm really, I'm starting to throw a lot more of those into my streams. I still do all of the other stuff, but, you know, I still do interviews with industry professionals, but I'm definitely finding the kind of hangout sessions, you know, the ones that people seem to resonate with.
Yeah. And who's in the chat? So Low Bass Guy's in the chat. Deshaunicus is in
Deshaun.
There.
Deshaun, he's a friend of mine. Hey, Deshaun.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for supporting my first inaugural stream on Twitch. You know, the perfection thing, that's what I'm wrestling with in a lot of areas, you know, of how to ratchet it back and be a little bit more open, or a lot more open. It's not as hard, or it's not as easy as people might think, you know. It's just like, it's very, hey, I got shoes.
Hey, Shu.
Now hosting my stream. Thank you. Look at that.
Hey, Shu. What a legend. He's such
yeah,
a legend.
I love it. I love it. You know, speaking of the perfection side of it, you know, one of the things that stops a lot of people, let's say on a service like YouTube, from getting traction is just initially there's zero followers. Like, I don't have any followers right now on Twitch, and that could be disconcerting. When I look at a more successful streamer like yourself on there, you've got a lot of followers, and you've gained those in a relatively short amount of time. How'd you do that? Like, how did you get all those followers so quickly? What's the secret?
I think, like I said first, that I have a relatively decent following on other platforms. So I'm constantly, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, I'm talking about it on other platforms. Mm. And it's interesting that, like, for a long time, you know, there was definitely a few people that came over from the platforms. But I think the thing that really clicked was when I did my intro video. So the video that it's kind of like a teaser to what my channel is about. My husband put it together for me. That is when, you know, when I dropped that, a lot of people were like, oh, okay, I see what you're trying to do on this platform. I didn't understand what Twitch was. So that really helped, I think. And I think the other thing, genuinely connecting with other streamers, genuinely going to hang out in other streams, get to know people, you know, when it's appropriate, letting them know that you stream, you know, definitely not rocking up and saying, hey, I stream, come and watch me. But like, you know, going to hang out, get to know them and say, hey, by the way, I do this thing. Maybe you'll be interested in it. You know, and it's still, I mean, to me, it still feels like a slow build. But I guess, you know, relatively speaking, it is, I have grown relatively quickly. But,
yeah, relatively is a word. Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, you know, for me, I always have really big goals as well. So I'm always like, everything's happening so slowly, but it's not. It's, you know, it's only been 5 months. So it's been amazing, the support.
Things have kind of taken off for you in those 5 months. Let's talk about that. So the follower growth notwithstanding, I have seen your name around in Nikon channels. So you're doing Nikon as well. So what's going on with that? So explain, you know, to the extent that you can. And thank you.
Yeah.
Who is that? We just got a follower. Little Brits. Thank you for following.
I think maybe, did we get a raid? I can't see if Matt Hickey might have raided, or if he just brought everyone over. So what up to Matt Hickey?
Thank you. Thank you. Matt raided. Thank you.
He did. All right. All right.
That's my first raid. That is my very first raid in life. Thank you.
I love it. So I raided Matt's stream before, just before when I got off, and he's raided your stream. So he's showing the love. This is great.
Look at that. Look at that. I love it. I love it.
It's so good.
Yeah. So Nikon. Nikon, to the extent you can talk about it. I know you're doing a course, or you've done a course with them, or a training class workshop. Or webinar. Yeah, what's your involvement with Nikon?
Yeah, so basically how that came about is I emailed them at the start of the year. I've shot Nikon my entire career, and something just like twigged in my head last year where I was like, okay, I had just won Live Music Photographer of the Year last year. I'd just come off a world tour. I just switched to mirrorless. And I emailed them and was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, this is what I'm doing. This is what happened this year. I've had a really great year. I think there potentially could be an opportunity for us to work together. I have a really huge audience of young female photographers. I would really love to kind of tell them that I use Nikon. I love using the mirrorless system. And it kind of started a conversation, I guess, from that point. Was like, you know, I didn't really hear back for a couple of months. And then they were like, hey, we really like your work. Let's do a little feature. My computer's having a little bit of a meltdown, so hopefully it's not affecting you too much.
No, you're fine on this side.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm just shutting everything else that doesn't need to be open right now. So
it's the gremlins.
It's the gremlins. Yeah, my gremlins too. So, yeah. So after that, I basically, they did like a little, I think it was like a photographer at home kind of series. Mm-hmm. So it was like, what are people doing at this time during COVID? And then after that, I think they did another feature, and it was like a couple of things in a row. And then I got an email about 2 months ago asking me if I'd like to be a Zed creator. So that was like official kind of content creator using the Zed series, which I use the Z6, which is the mirrorless mirrorless system. And then after that, they asked me to do the workshop, which is happening tomorrow night. So
that's good. Yeah. And what's the workshop on?
The workshop is on, I guess, my career, my portrait work, my live music photography work, and using the mirrorless, as well as my opinion on, they just sent me the new Z5. So I think I'm one of the first people to get the new Z5, which is kind of like the entry level mirrorless camera.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the specs are amazing. Like, they ran me through it all. Thank God it was like they actually ran it, like talked me through it, because whenever I see specs, I'm like, woo, over my head. But it really stacks up towards with the Z6. I wish I could shoot a gig to see like really how it performs, but I've been shooting just around the house and stuff. So, I have, you know, a little bit of a handle on it now. So the workshop is just about talking about myself and my work and my experience with the mirrorless system. So
that's cool. Now, do you think your obviously your involvement with Twitch was a catalyst in helping all that happen? But I mean, it's kind of like, you know, this pandemic, like you were saying, the pandemic led you to be stuck at home, which led you to discover Twitch, which led to you having a large audience of the demographic that Nikon was looking for, and now you're working with Nikon. So something good came out of it, maybe? What do you think?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely looking at all of that stuff so, you know, really positively. It's very much in my nature to, I guess, turn negatives into positives. I don't really dwell on stuff too much in any situation. It's like, I have anxiety, so I use my anxious energy to be really productive. Like, I've always done that. So that's where, when this hit and I wasn't able to shoot and I was feeling a lot of anxiety, I'm like, okay, like, what am I doing? What am I doing with all of this anxiety that I'm feeling about not being able to do what I love? So, I've managed to turn it into something really positive. And I can't speak highly enough about how much I love Twitch. I love the community here. I love the photography team. I love every aspect of, I just really want to help, you know, build the community of photographers and, you know, get more eyeballs on the fact that there's an amazing array of people streaming really great stuff and you can learn from all these people. So, yeah. You know, everybody come over to Twitch is the message.
Yeah, I agree. And come over to Twitch and marinate for a while. Don't just bounce off. Yeah, yeah. You got to come in and hang out and don't just, you know, this is not the party for me. I don't like the music. You got to stay for a while to really, really get a feel for it.
Find the streamers that are your people as well. That's what I'd say, because like there are a lot of different streamers doing a lot of different types of photography stuff, and maybe this streamer might not be your jam, but there will definitely be somebody that has like can teach you something, or you really gel with their personality, or you know, really fun or whatever. So I can see a lot of chat in like a lot of people in the chat right now, so
I love it. Yeah, I feel so supported. You know, speaking of a supportive community, I see all these chat names that I see in every other chat, like Impoverished and Kiki and Gypsy J. Look at that. I love this.
They're all here. Radical Ace is here. It's so good. Yeah. Impoverished. Matt Hickey's here. All the legends. Shoe.
I love it. Shoe's in here. Yeah, this is just amazing.
Shoe's the OG.
Yeah, I'm getting him on the hot seat. Shu, you better get prepared, man. You're gonna be on this hot seat soon.
If anyone should be in the hot seat, it's him. So.
Oh no, he's definitely gonna be on the hot seat. I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about the sister site / service to Twitch, Discord. So you mentioned you have a Discord server with around 200 people on there. What is Discord, you know, from your and speak to the people that barely know what Twitch is and have no idea what Discord is. Discord is for hackers. Like what is Discord to the layperson out there?
Oh yeah. And talk about like not knowing what something is and being like super overwhelmed at the start. So I kind of look at it as like, I guess a place where everyone can hang out when I'm not streaming. That's how I kind of explain it to people. So it's like almost like you're at a party and there's all these different rooms, and each room has like people are talking about something different in the room. So you can go into the room and like most of it I would say is photography related, but there's definitely some other stuff in there, like memes and funny stuff. We might share photos of your animals but you know, like I use it as a place to really connect to my audience when I'm not streaming. If they need to ask me a question, it's kind of like you can ask me anything, anytime. And if I can't answer it, someone else from the community will likely be able to answer it. So it's kind of like a big forum where, but community as well. Like they're all friends. Like we're all friends. We all hang out. We all know each other. We know, you know, stuff about each other. It's like a big hangout session, but it's informative as well. Like everybody's learning and sharing as much information as they know, I guess.
I'm sorry. I just stepped on you, Michelle. Yeah. My sort of parallel to Discord is something like Slack, I think, you know, or, you know, one of those kind of chat services. And that's where my brain went when I first saw it. I'm thinking, is this Slack or is it not Slack? And then Shu gave me a demo. He was just sort of walking me through how things work. And he's like, oh, yeah, come in this room. And boom, we're in an audio room and sharing video and all this stuff. So I'm like, well, you can't do that with Slack. Like, what is going on? So, you know, the tight integration, I guess the basis of my question is the tight integration between Discord and Twitch. They seem joined at the hip. They seem almost like two departments of one company. Do you think, like from your perspective, do you think that we're heading towards a future where Amazon, who owns Twitch.tv, Amazon will say, you know what, I'm going to throw some change over there and buy Discord and merge the two? Are we heading in that direction?
Oh, yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. I guess it's quite possible. They do totally work hand in hand. It's, you know, it can be quite a seamless transition between the two. You know, you can get bots that tell, you know, when you're live in your Discord so everyone can come over to your Twitch straight away. Usually as soon as I finish my stream, I'm over on the Discord saying, hey, this is the video. If you missed it, here are some funny clips. Like they really do work hand in hand. So, I mean, I definitely could see that as a possibility for sure. For me, like I said, it's just a place that I can hang out with my people. When I'm off stream, I'm literally on there all day. So I'm constantly checking it. It has pretty much taken over my life. So
right. Which is what people like Jeff Bezos and his minions are salivating over, a captive audience that is addicted to a service with a video component. It seems like the Discord, not that I want it to happen at all, but the Discord, Twitch, you know, you put that peanut butter and jelly together, you have a formidable sandwich to go against the likes of YouTube and Facebook, right?
So yeah, it seems, I mean, like
if I was a product manager over there, I would be suggesting that in marketing meetings, like, hey, we got to buy those guys and merge. So, I mean, totally. What do you think? Do you hope it happens or do you hope it doesn't happen?
I don't even know if I have an opinion. If I hope, because my strongest opinion would definitely say that I feel like Twitch is going to take over, like where I see YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that. Now that I've seen how it works and the potential and how I think television is dead. I feel like if you're going to pay for content, it's going to be from people that are giving you not only like informative content that you want, like educational or whatever, but entertainment. And you have a community of people that you really resonate with. Like it's two things in one. It's not just you're watching something and there's no feedback. It's like you're getting constant feedback from the person that is streaming, which is why the chat is so amazing. And then when they're offline, you get constant communication with that person. I feel like if musicians like really twig to this, like this is where I can see it absolutely going crazy. Like somebody with a decent fan base that can really build their audience, because they're going to have that really intimate connection that I think fans are really dying for, that they really love. So I just see so much potential on the platform. I personally can't wait to see where it goes. I'm just really stoked to be involved with photography now, where it's relatively new. And hopefully we get a lot more eyeballs over onto the platform so they can, you know, other photographers can see that there's so many people you can learn from over here, and it's way more interactive than just a YouTube video. It's like live interaction with the person that you can ask questions and be like, hey, what did you mean by that section? Can you just go back over that again? Or you know, that sort of stuff.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of the old school chat rooms where people would just sit in there all day and chat with each other back and forth.
But
with a video component. So imagine those chat rooms, but then there's somebody that's a human that's there talking and doing something interesting, and you're sort of chatting in the background while they're doing their thing. So that's the closest analogy I can think of. I want to switch gears a little bit, Michelle, and talk about your work. So you mentioned at the beginning of this interview that you consider yourself a music photographer, sort of musician photographer. Can you go into that a little bit and why you chose that particular genre?
Totally. I know it's highly unusual to have that much of a niche for yourself, but I work exclusively with artists and musicians. So I do press shots, album covers, tour posters, as well as live gigs, like live concerts and touring with artists. I pretty much decided that I wanted that to be my niche in probably the first year of shooting, and it took a little while to, I guess, build it up enough clientele where it was, you know, 99.9% of what I do, but that was always the goal. I always wanted the majority of the work to be derived from working with musicians, because that's just what I genuinely love the most. They're the people that I love working with. I really connect with artists really well. I understand. I used to be a musician, so I feel like I understand music. I understand, you know, specifically when I first started, I was working in the genre of hip hop. Like I understand the culture. I understand aesthetically what it looks like, what imagery should look like. So people resonated with my work really early on. Nowadays, I work with you know, all kinds of artists, but it helped at the start to have a really intimate knowledge of hip hop culture and what imagery should look like when you're kind of performing, I guess, performing and putting press shots out. So it's the people that I love working with, essentially. So when I said before, like, I don't feel like it's a job, like, I genuinely love what I do with, like, all of my soul. I'm very, very much, it's my identity. Like, I actually very, very attached to what I do. So that's why this, you know, it's been really, really tricky at the moment. So to not be able to do the thing that you identify with the most.
Do you realize how lucky you are to have discovered that's the thing that you know that you're supposed to be doing? Many people go through their entire lives, or maybe they get to the end of their life, you know, and figure that out. You figured it out early and can lean into
not
it.
Early. That's, not that early.
By my clock, it's early.
I said this before, but I didn't pick up a camera until I was 31. So I actually came quite late to it. But it was immediately, like, as soon as I found it and as soon as I knew that I wanted to work with artists, I just threw myself into it. Because I had worked in corporate jobs and other stuff that I just, like, you know, I was always getting bored working in these 9-to-5s. I don't work well in those boxes. Like, I work so much better being free and just being able to do whatever I want at whatever time I want. I am extremely self-driven, which I never would have thought back in the day. Like, I guess once I found that, it really did just click, and I don't ever take it for granted. I pretty much, like, especially when I was doing stuff like touring last year, so there was so much gratitude and so much taking in every moment, because I'd worked for almost 10 years to get to a point where you would be on a world tour. So, like, that was my goal from the very start, was to be touring that much. So, I definitely do not take any of it for granted, and am constantly just amazed that I was able to get here. So
and it's still early, you know, there's still a lot to do. What does a day in the life look like? So as a music photographer, say you get hired for a gig. Well, first of all, how does that happen? Does like, you know, who calls you up, you know? Do they just call you up, the press agent or whomever, call you up and say, hey, there's a gig happening this night, are you available? Like, take us through that from the initial phone call all the way through to how do you deliver the final images to the client? What does that look like?
Oh, well, it totally depends. There's like a number of different ways that can happen. So I guess also the reason that I was able to carve out this little niche for myself, that there's, to be honest, not many people have been able to call themselves professional music photographers in recent years, is because a lot of music photographers work for publications and they shoot for free, and they get very frustrated with that process because, you know, they're shooting all of these gigs and they feel like at one point someone's going to notice them and take them on tour, and it just doesn't happen. So I saw that really early and was like, well, I'm not going to work for publications. I'm going to work for artists direct. I'm going to have relationships with artists, and I want to be hired by the artists. Mm. So I would say the majority of my work has come from really, like, immersing myself in the Australian music scene, like showing up to gigs, shooting a lot of gigs at the start for free, but just to get known. And then once I had those existing relationships, you know, having relationships with artists, and they're the people that hire me. So it's usually artist management that hire me. And so I'll get a phone call to say, or an email usually, but to say, hey, we need these press shots done. We've got this kind of lead period. Are you able to fit us in? And then the process is kind of, I work really collaboratively. So it's very much like getting visual references from them to see what kind of page are they on, like, what are they thinking the vibe is. And there we come up with a couple of concepts for, you know, if whether it's a 2-hour or 4-hour shoot, or however, you know, many looks we can get done in that particular time frame, because press shots are often about trying to get as many different looks as possible, a kind of bang for buck, if that makes sense, because there's lots of different press needs for, you know, for an album or a single release.
When you say press shots, what do you mean press shots? Like, is a press shot like you're taking the band or the artist around the town and you're just doing the cool shots, you know, with a brick background and all that? Or is it actual shots of them in action in the venue performing, or all of the above?
Press shots, which is kind of like probably 80% of what I do, press shots is the first thing that you mentioned. So, okay. And again, conceptually, it totally depends on the band and their vision. But I mean, a majority of my stuff now is done in the studio. Sometimes it's location, depending on the vibe of the band or the artist, but I would say majority is studio based. And they're the shots. So like if somebody says, hey, we're doing this article on you, we need you to send us a photo of your band, or we're writing a review on this, and or we're doing something on your single release, they'll send that to press. And then you'll see it, you know, in different magazines or newspapers, or it's how they promote themselves or their upcoming release. Sometimes the stuff is also used for things like Spotify or, you know, thumbnails and stuff like that. There's like a million different uses for press shots. Then the flip side of that is, yeah, if I'm hired to do a concert, which is like a totally different thing, but that's usually an email to say, hey, we're playing this show on this particular night. Can you come and shoot the show? It's usually about an hour or so.
Yeah.
And the deliverables for those are really different as well. So like, concert turnaround is usually really quick, so they want stuff by the next day. So you have to learn to be very, very efficient at turning around a large number of photos in a short period of time. And press shots, usually the turnaround can be probably about a week. So you would want to provide proofs to the client. The client would then choose, say they're 15 or so, 20 finals, depending on what package they kind of booked. And then I would retouch those to make them like press or magazine worthy. And then that's their final images that they get. That's so there's cool. A lot in that. I know there's like a few different things that I do, but
yeah. So yeah, I'm guessing you're not a wedding photographer though. You're not going to go out and shoot weddings, or have you ever considered doing that?
I started shooting weddings. I cut my teeth shooting weddings. I actually just stopped shooting weddings last year because I was touring so much and I was getting clashes and it was getting a bit tricky. But weddings, I think I've spoken about this on my stream before, but I think it's probably one of the best ways to really understand your camera, understand changing light, rapid changes in stuff that's happening in front of you. It's like pure documentation. And music photography go actually really hand in hand. So I often say if you can do one, you can do the other. So I don't really shoot, you know, if one of my friends came to me and asked me to shoot a wedding, I still would, but I don't, like, I'm not advertising anywhere or anything like that. Like I pulled my website down. I pulled my Instagram down. It's just like, I don't really tell people.
I look at weddings and I admire wedding photographers to the end of the planet, because the stress leading up to a wedding, you know, even to an engagement shoot, but the stress leading up to the event, and then the zero margin for error, right? There's no, hey, I didn't get the shot of you, you know, kissing. Can we do that one more time? You know, and then the follow-up after the fact and all the back and forth of the deliverables after that. It is a lot
it's a lot.
You know, I don't care what charge. There's a lot, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I mean, I really like shooting the day of the wedding. Like, I really love, again, it's just that pure documentation stuff. I love that kind of fly on the wall style. It's just the same sort of style that I do when I'm on tour, to be honest. It's just like what's happening in front of me kind of vibe. But the editing and the deliverables, I agree. It's always the stuff that I didn't really enjoy as much. It's a lot of work. And I guess, you know, that's why people do charge a lot of money. So they're worth every cent, can I tell you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that, in wedding photography, I think the segue, or like you said, if you can do one, you have a leg up on the other. So when you look at, you know, let's call it concert photography, you know, the people that shoot concerts that are in those challenging situations, lights changing all the time, and or very little, if any, light, and then you've got a frenetic subject on stage bouncing around, and then a crowd knocking around and all that, but you still have to get magazine quality shots. Have you done that? Yeah. Have you done like in-venue concert type photography?
Yeah, that's like the other 20% of what I do, I guess. Concert, working for artists, and touring and doing like that night in and night out for, you know, across the globe. So I like live for that stuff. Like concert photography is the stuff that like it feeds my soul. So again, this time is really, really tricky not being able to do that. I worked for a long, long, long time shooting pretty much every gig that would allow me in the door. These days I pretty much shoot exclusively for one artist, and also I was doing a lot of work for Live Nation. So I was doing, obviously they're a really big concert promoter, so some of the bigger shows for Live Nation, rather than, I'm not really doing as many, you know, local band stuff, unless I get like a specific call up, which happens, that happens sometimes, but the majority of my work is with one particular artist, and we have been touring kind of relentlessly for the last 2 years. So, but that's, yeah, so I'm doing that night in, night out when you're on tour, and it's my best, you know, my favorite thing in the world. I love it.
That's just the life of a rock star. That's gotta be fun. That is really gotta be fun. Low Bass Guy is in the chat. Low Bass Guy says, get on your paddle boat and come shoot my wedding. By the time you get here, I might have a bride.
Yes. Kiki said, I have faith in you. I'm the same. I have faith, Low Bass, you can do it. By the time I'm allowed in your country, maybe, I don't know. Don't know when we'll be allowed to travel again from Australia.
Oh man, yeah. Or who can come in the United States? That's a whole nother podcast.
This is an uplifting show.
Let's keep this uplifting. What's next? What's coming up next for you as we put our landing gear down and head towards the runway? What you know, we've got the Nikon thing happening. That's tomorrow night, right? What time is that happening?
It's 5:30 my time, so that is, it's 2.5 hours now from now, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 2.5 hours.
Anyone can work
now.
That out.
Okay,
tomorrow.
So 5:30. 11:30, it's 10 now, so 12:30 tomorrow on the West Coast, probably.
There you go, so, late.
But there'll be a replay, I'm sure, right?
I hope so. I don't know how that works with them. I have to find out if there's, if you're able to watch it online or anything. But obviously Twitch, I'm really putting a lot of my energy into, providing valuable content for the people that come to my streams and subscribe to my channel, which I am like just forever grateful for. That they are, the people that subscribe are allowing me to continue to do this and keep the lights on as such. But outside that, I had made a note in my diary today to contact, there's probably about 8 or 9 clients that are waiting to hear from me about when I will open my studio, and I'm waiting for the government to tell me on Sunday if I'm able to open my studio. So we're finding out on Sunday about the new restrictions. I'm hoping it means I can open my studio, which means I have to reschedule all of those people, and so that's short term. Long term stuff, all of the touring that was supposed to be happening now, I assume will be rescheduled at some point, but we just have no idea about concerts. Like, it's the one really big mystery about when that can happen. But the artists that I'm working with, there's some really cool stuff happening in the very near future. So I'm really excited about the rollout of that, because we worked in between our two lockdowns. We worked... really,
you can't tease us like that. You gotta tell us what it is. What is that? We need some cool stuff. Come on.
I absolutely am. I've already said too much, to be honest, so I absolutely cannot say any more about that. But soonish people will know about that. That's probably the most definitely the best, my best work that's ever been created, and I think the team's best work as well. So I'm really excited for that to be out. That's going to be really cool.
That's cool. That's awesome. I'm not going to press you on telling us more about that secret. So let's end it with this. I want to give you the opportunity to just sort of chat with or address the younger photographers out there that are looking to, you know, get a leg up. They're trying to get some traction on, say, Twitch or YouTube, and maybe they're having a little struggle with that, and, you know, or they're not sure about their work or what direction they should take with their work, genre-wise or post-processing-wise or anything. What would you say to the younger people out there, the younger photographers are just getting started that are kind of unsure of which way to point the rudder?
Yeah, so I definitely recommend people at the start to kind of try everything, because you'll start to see what really clicks with you. Like, it took me a while to actually realize that I love shooting portraits. It actually took someone to tell me, hey, I actually think your portraiture is really beautiful, for something to click in my head and be like, oh, yeah, that's a thing that I want to do as well. So I think trying a lot of different things at the start and seeing what really resonates with you. Like, some people really love working with people, for example. So I think portraiture is really great for that. Some people hate working with people. So perhaps doing what Low Base does and work with amazing animals and insects and stuff like that might suit you a little bit better. But there's, I think there's something for everybody, which is really cool. Yeah. You know, if you love, maybe you want to shoot weddings. A lot of the people that I know that shoot weddings, you know, really they want to do a photography stream that they know that they'll be able to provide for their families, for example. So something that has like higher revenue, like, you know, photography. If you want higher revenue, probably don't do music photography. Yeah. Or if you are, you're going to have to work like five times as hard. So, but you know, I kid, but, you know, finding the stuff that really resonates with you, that, that you really connect with, because if you shoot what you love, people will see that. Like, it's actually very, very evident when somebody loves what they shoot. So yeah. That is that's my biggest piece of advice. Like, it's very apparent when people connect with their art.
Yeah, I think that is really good advice, and that goes for a lot of other things too. You know, do what you love in life, period. You know, and you know, like the old saying goes, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life, right? Because
it sounds cliche, but like, you know, like I said before, like, I mean, I do think I work incredibly hard, but often it doesn't feel like work, especially when I'm working with amazing clients that I really love, and they're my friends, and we really connect on a level that is awesome. It feels like a hangout session. Like, you know, it's really fun.
I love it. Michelle G. Hunter, thank you for coming on. This has been
pleasure.
Fantastic.
Wow, you, really this, fun.
I made it through my first Twitch interview. Michelle G. Hunter was my first interview. I got my first raid on this.
Okay, best raid. Thanks, Matt Hickey. Well done.
Yeah. I feel like I'm part of the crew now. Now I gotta, you know, do this thing regularly. Low Base guy tells me that in order to be considered a real streamer, I gotta go like 3, 4, 5 hours at a time.
Like I did today.
Yeah, but they're only 24 hours in a day, and at some point I gotta make money to eat, you know. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do at the moment. It's like trying to work out, once I start shooting like as much as I was, how to, you know, navigate streaming into my life. But I think it'll just happen. I think it's just gonna organically work. I'll work it out somehow. I definitely started doing an hour streams, and like today was 4 hours, so you'll get there. I have faith in you. You'll build up to it.
Thank you. I'm giving it the try. So far, I'm hooked. Really hooked. So,
I'm so glad.
Well, good luck. Break a leg.
Shout out to Low Base as well, because I know he worked really hard to get you here, and I think he deserves all of the credit there.
he does. Low Base will be on the hot seat soon too. We'll get him on the
interview.
We're gonna get inside the mind of Low Base. We'll see what's going on in there.
I can't wait for that. Be incredible. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, no, that'll be great. All right, well, cool. Michelle, I'll let you get on with it. Thank you for taking the time today, and break a leg tomorrow evening with your is it a webinar or
it's like an online workshop, so I guess it's like a kind of like a Zoom thing, I think, where people can come in and I've got a really great presentation, guys. I worked really hard on it. So
come to it.
Very come visual.
We'll get the word out on This Week in Photo, too, so we'll get you some traffic over there from here. All right, well, cool. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining in the chat. This was a little harrowing, getting everything going the first time. But it wasn't as bad as I thought. The technology, like I said, I wasn't worried about the interview because you and I have talked before. I was 100% sure we'd have a great conversation, but the technology, I was 100% sure was going to fail, but it didn't. So
okay. We got through it.
Great work. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
See you guys.
This is Twip.